My name is Lee Hawkins. I've been a journalist for over 25 years. On my new podcast, What Happened in Alabama, I get answers to some of the hardest questions about how things came to be for many Black Americans and the truth that must come before any reconciliation can happen. I investigate my family history, my upbringing in Minnesota, and my father's painful nightmares about growing up in Alabama. What Happened in Alabama is a new series confronting the cycles of trauma for myself, my family, and for many Black Americans. Listen now.
This Marketplace podcast is supported by Ascensus, helping people dream bigger, aim higher, and save more with financial confidence. Unleash the power of your retirement savings plan with innovative technology that makes things easy, top-notch service from experts who care, and flexible solutions that can grow with you. For more than 40 years, Ascensus has been helping savers achieve their goals. We can help you achieve yours, too. Learn more at Ascensus.com. That's ASCENSUS.com.
China scraps quarantines for all international visitors. This is the Marketplace Global Update from the BBC World Service. I'm Will Bain. After 3 years of closed borders, on the 8th of January, China will effectively reopen the country to those with a work and study visa or seeking to visit their families. The country has abandoned its zero COVID policy after widespread protests, but is now struggling to contain the virus's ferocious spread. China's economy has also taken a battering. Nearly one in five young people are out of work, as the BBC's Stephen McDonnell in Beijing has been finding out.
The coffee beans are being ground. The hot water poured in. In a little park in eastern Beijing's Tongzhou district, Jin Xi has set up a mobile cafe. It's slow today, but finally, a man comes along to try her coffee. He likes it. This 20-something-year-old runs her very small business selling specialty coffee and homemade desserts out of the back of a car.
There are times when people are flooding past and times with nobody walking around. The uncertainty is high.
Her big attraction is her extremely friendly pet dog, Guo Guo, who draws customers in. But even he can't make this profitable, she says.
I'm earning very little from it. I can barely cover the expense of the car and the materials for coffee and desserts.
And, like many young people here, has struggled to find good, stable work. I ask about the employment situation for friends.
80-90% of them are finding it hard to get any job. None of them would say they've found a good job.
Official youth unemployment in China has been nudging 20% this year. The deterioration of the jobs market for young people really started escalating from April. The reasons for this are many. The government has cracked down on the tech sector, reining in the power of these companies. They can no longer afford to employ as many university graduates. Banks have also been told to lend less money to property developers, which have been going way too far into debt. The property sector had also been a big employer of young people. Then there's the country's zero COVID approach. For 3 years, major restrictions were placed on people's movements, combining with citywide lockdowns, which really hit small business. Then the speed with which zero COVID started being dismantled took nearly everyone by surprise and has led to an explosion of infections. The next few months will be tough. But policymakers here are hoping that reopening will eventually mean more jobs being generated, especially for the young.
The BBC's Stephen McDonnell in Beijing there. Well, Asian shares are all up on that news as we check the numbers now. Yes, where consumer goods and travel stocks in neighbouring Tokyo and Seoul in particular are up. In the Chinese mainland, the Shanghai Composite Index closed up just over 1%. Questions, though, about that spread of the virus. Japan has said it will reinstate testing for all visitors from China. And the Chinese government has today performed a U-turn, saying it will now use foreign vaccine brands. It struck a deal with Pfizer to distribute vaccine pills across Beijing from today. Now, have you ever cursed having the wrong charger for a socket or can't borrow one off a colleague because you have the wrong brand? Well, that headache is set to end across Europe as the EU rolls out its single charger law today. The bill means all electronics manufacturers will have to use a standard USB port charger. Apple seems the most likely to be upset about the ruling as it seemingly outlaws its lightning cable chargers, but companies do have 2 years to comply. The rollercoaster ride for crypto around the world has been one of the business stories of 2022. All this week, we're going to be looking at what the future might hold for crypto, starting with the most important people in all this, those of you choosing to invest your money in it. The BBC's Leanna Byrne has been speaking to a couple of investors, starting with the content creator and Bitcoin investor, Leia Halpin.
It's a pretty hot location for people in the crypto world right now because it's fighting to become a global crypto capital.
Miami's great. I decided to move here because there's just more opportunity. The mayor of Miami, for example, is very pro-cryptocurrency, very pro-Bitcoin, and that was very inspiring. You know, I've interviewed him for my channel. My day's great. I work for myself. I woke up this morning, I got a coffee, and then I went on a nice long walk by the ocean, and then I came back and I filmed some videos for YouTube all about crypto, Web3, DAOs, which are decentralized companies, basically.
But I want to be realistic because not everyone who trades crypto moves to Miami and works for themselves. For most people, trading cryptocurrencies isn't their main thing. And that's why I wanted to speak to Matt Brighton.
Welcome back to the channel. If you're new here, my name's Matt. I work for a bank by day. I invest in property on the side. And on this channel, we explore...
Matt's a normal guy with a normal financial job with a not-so-normal YouTube channel. All about investing and finance. So why would somebody who invests their money in such a traditional way be enticed to put their money on a crypto market?
It was around 2017 when I first got into crypto. And this was when the main crypto that everybody had heard of at that point was Bitcoin. There was a lot of hype. I invested and put about £35,000, which was my entire life savings at that time, into Bitcoin through this platform. And quite incredibly, it just kept increasing and increasing and increasing. And at the peak was around $112,000. And then it very quickly crashed. I think this is probably just after Christmas going into 2018. Bitcoin really went down. Now I got in at around, I think it was $4,000 for one Bitcoin. It surged up to around 20,000 and then went all the way back down to about 2,000 or 3,000 at the time. So luckily for me, I pulled out at the point pretty much that I went in at. I think I might have lost £1,000 or 2,000, but I think, you know, hindsight's a wonderful thing. And also I think, you know, greed is something when you're in the stock market, is to know when to cut your losses and get out.
The BBC's Leanna Byrne reporting there. And I'm Will Bain. Thanks for listening to the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
Hey everyone, it's Rima Khreis, host of This Is Uncomfortable. If you're looking for some good recommendations on books to read, well, you should join This Is Uncomfortable's Summer Book Club. Every other week in our newsletter, we'll share a new book that'll make you rethink your relationship to money, class, and work, while also featuring an interview with the author or an expert on the topic. Plus, when you join, you'll be entered in a giveaway where you could win some This Is Uncomfortable merch. Be sure to check it out. Sign up today at marketplace.org/bookclub.